Okay. You know, Jerry Savelle, how many of you remember Jerry Savelle? Just an absolutely magnificent preacher of the gospel. And he came out with these battery, the absolute battery of different confessions that he would come out with. And he'd confess them sometimes before he got out of bed, sometimes as he was getting out of bed in the morning. And there was one that I believe I've gotten really close to as far as remembering it. But it was the blessing of God is on my life and it empowers me to prosper. The favor of God is on my life and produces opportunities for that to happen. Psalm 37:23 says that a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. And because the Spirit of God who indwells me guides me, I am always in the right place at the right time, fully equipped and furnished unto every good work in Christ. Say that before you get out of bed. He used to say, you know, I say these things, they come to me, I start saying them when I'm lying there, and I really feel that when I stand up, it's the Holy Spirit who's lifting me up. And I am defeating my enemies before my feet ever touch the ground. You know, in fact, let's declare this together. I have the blessing of God on my life, and it empowers me to prosper. I have the favor of God on my life, and it produces opportunities for that to happen. Psalm 37:23 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And because the Spirit of God who indwells me guides me, I am always in the right place at the right time, fully equipped and furnished unto every good work in Christ Jesus. You'll be ready for anything. I say you'll be ready for everything. You know, the Bible talks about being prepared, having your feet prepared with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you can bring peace to any situation just by walking in. Boy, I'll tell you, that ring is really, really, yeah. You hear that? I scribble. Okay, but today we're talking about the joy of the Lord, actually the wonderful joy of the Lord this month. And today we're talking about the joy of the Lord is fresh oil. You know what oil does? You know, in an engine, it reduces friction. It greases up the stuff that wants to slow you down, to jam you up, to distract you and everything. The oil of the Lord, and it's a reference to the anointing of the Lord. So Jesus talked about the anointing of the Lord as a necessity. It was a reality of his life, and his life reflected everything that his life was reflected into his ministry. That anointing is the same anointing that is available to every Christian. Whatever Jesus had, we have. How many of you know you can have something without knowing you have it? Does that mean it doesn't exist? Does that mean it's not real? Mm-hmm. It is real. It's very real. You know, I studied the joy of the Lord in last couple of months. And the joy of the Lord, I found a real connection with the anointing of God and the joy of the Lord. I find they're just inextricably linked. And not that they're the same thing, they're two different things, but they're so inextricably, that means that they're woven together so tight that you can't separate them, that you would damage one by trying to separate it. And it was really cool, because together, the joy of the Lord and the anointing form a joint that is so powerful that it can cause you to overcome everything because it activates an anointing to destroy every yoke and to remove every burden. Everything that stops you, that tries to stop you and interfere, cause friction or whatever, strife, envy, low self-esteem, whatever it is, the joy of the Lord can overcome all of that because it makes you feel like you'd do anything.
That's right.
You know why? Because you can. This is not a supposition. This is a fact. This is spiritual law that we're talking about. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. And say this, the anointing is real. The anointing is on my life. You know why that is? It's because the Holy Spirit is in you. He indwells you. And you are baptized in Him, enveloped by Him. So in verse 9, this is talking about Jesus. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Boy, this is, you know what righteousness is? Righteousness is right standing with God. That means you can stand before God without any sense of inferiority. Why? Because the blood has washed away all of that inferiority, and there's no reason for you to feel inferior because there's no sin between you and Him. There's nothing standing in the way between you and Him. You are locked in solid with God. That is what righteousness is. Praise God. Hey. You say this, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And now you're only righteous because you're in Christ. Outside of Christ, you're not. But in Christ, you are the righteousness of God. There's only one righteousness accepted in heaven. And if He's made you righteous, it's His own righteousness. Amen. He loved righteousness. And when you are in the presence of God and you know that presence wipes away everything. I remember the first time I was in the presence of God and I didn't know what to do with it. I was in my bedroom. I was sitting on the bed and I was reading this prophecy that Pat Robertson had. There was tongues and interpretation after a filming one day. And talking about, I am the Lord God, and I have called you to walk upon the high places of the earth. And I'm looking at this thing, and all of a sudden, the room just filled with His presence. I was reading it out loud, by the way. Whenever the Word of God is spoken, the Holy Spirit is all over it. And I felt, in the natural, and at this time, I was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. In the natural, I felt like that big in a universe that couldn't be measured. I felt so small. And it was like, whew, all of a sudden, I felt myself expanding, and there was joy. I had this joy in my heart, knowing that God had a plan for me. And if you get just that far, that's great. That's all you need to know to get you to the next level, to the next level. Because when you get that joy on the inside of you, you feel like you can do anything. There's nothing impossible with you. And my God, and you start walking like this, and God says, yeah, that boy, keep walking, keep doing it, keep opening this up. Give me some room to work. Give me some words to work with. Give me some action to work with. You know, faith is acting on the Word of God. And when you act on the Word of God, it fulfills. This is the anointing. The anointing. It's the oil of gladness is a really cool word. It's a Greek word. Agaliasis, it's called. Agaliasis. And it means exultation, it means gladness, it means exceeding joy. Can we have that definition up? This is from Strong's. Can you see that microscopic stuff? Exultation, especially welcome, gladness, and exceeding joy. And I went to exceeding joy. I said, exceeding joy, what does that mean? Exceeding what? Well, it really doesn't matter because it exceeds any other kind of joy that we're talking about. It doesn't matter. It carries with it the implication that it's joy with a lot more added to it if you need it. And you know how you do that? Rick Renner does this a lot. He'll take a word in the Bible, look at the Strong's Concordance, and go, and then he'll start matching it to other literature that was available at that time that was written in those days. So you really get the meaning of the street language and what it was. And that's what it comes up to, is it implies that this is a joy that has a lot more to it if you need it. Exceeding joy. I don't know about you, but that tickles. That makes me feel like, wow, there's more than just this. Well, that's because his joy is this big. And we talked about this the other night. Your mind is talking 2 + 2 = 4, and his joy is putting in advanced trigonometry. And you can only handle so much, because there's so much joy, and the joy is so powerful, so strong, that it can, you can bring you up into its ability to do anything you need to do. I hope you got that, because I don't know if I can repeat it. This is the stuff that Nehemiah 8:10. When Ezra started to read the scriptures after they built the walls of Jerusalem back up in 52 days, something that modern engineers can't figure out how they did it. They didn't have bulldozers, steam shovels. They didn't have any cranes to lift rocks, you know, these big things. 52 days, and they did it in the midst of being persecuted, being pummeled. They were fighting. They had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. And they were building that wall, lifting stones. There was no bulldozers and to take away the rubble of the old and make the new. 52 days they got the job done. A feat that modern engineering can't figure out. They didn't have any equipment, but they had something. They had a God who they believed in. And when they started to do stuff, he started to do it with them. And he said this in Nehemiah 8:10. Go your way, he said, after he read the law, and the people started to weep because they hadn't heard the law, the book of the law, in so long. And they started to weep because they saw how good God really is. And he says, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the kind of strength, the exceeding joy, the stuff that gets you over anything, any obstacle, that connects you with an anointing that enables you to do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Through Christ. That means Christ. Messiah means the anointed one. Christ is the Greek version of the word Messiah. It means the anointed one and his anointing. You can't separate the anointed one from the anointing. So they are one and the same together. The joy of the Lord is your strength, because it hooks you up with an anointing that the devil doesn't know what to do with, because it destroys his yokes and it removes his burdens. Isaiah 61, this is 300 years before Ezra read these things in the book of Nehemiah. 61 verses 1 through 3, Isaiah writes, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and open the prison to them who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn in Zion, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. How do you overcome mourning and grief? Joy. He gives you joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. You know, there's one translation that I read. I think it's, it might be the Amplified Classic, but it says oaks of righteousness. You know, I was walking Buddy one time, and I noticed on Cooper and then on Cedar Street, there are these huge, humongous oak trees. And the bark on them, I mean, they are amazing trees, just stalwart, amazing trees, just immovable. They are, I imagine they are many tons. They are heavy. It is amazing. Oak! That you might be an oak tree, a planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You just glorify him. And you know what? I noticed the roots of those trees were pushing the sidewalk up. It was breaking the sidewalk, which means, look, if you're an oak tree and there is something holding you down, guess what? You can lift it right up. That's what the anointing does. The devil does this and the anointing does that and just lifts you up and breaks up any pressure that's coming down on your roots and your ability to tap into the things of God. Boom. Ha! 700 years after Isaiah wrote this, Jesus walked into the synagogue in Nazareth. He said, give me the book. And they gave him a book and he opened it up. And he turned to this passage. And he said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this word, acceptable year of the Lord, every Jew in that synagogue knew exactly what he was talking about. You know what he was talking about? Anybody? The year of Jubilee. Every 7 years, well, it was supposed to be, but Israel never stayed in obedience long enough to enjoy it. But every 7 years, there was something happened. They would let the land lie out and so forth so that it would get its nutrients for the new crops the next year. But then at the end of seven-year periods, that 50th year was a Jubilee. During the Jubilee that year, every debt was canceled. Every slave was to go free. Everybody who was bound was released. Now, prisoners had to go to sanctuary cities. They had sanctuary cities in that point, but it was something that was ordained by God, and it doesn't run like it does now. That's a fact, Jack. But every prisoner went free. Every debt was canceled. And if you read this, you'll understand Jesus is your Jubilee. Your sin debt was paid. It's canceled. Your bondage is over. You renew your mind to the truth, and the truth will do what? Make you free. The truth is that Jesus is in you, both the willing to do of his good pleasure, and Jesus is your Jubilee. He is here to make you free. He is here to place you up and over. That's the blessing of Abraham, that you are above only and not beneath. He is the living personification of the blessing of Abraham. The acceptable year of the Lord. And you know what he closed? The book. Now, it says every eye was fastened on him and they were amazed. It says he closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And it says, and he began to preach. He preached the anointing. This was the theme of the message that he preached. And then the people started saying, wait a second, isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph? Who does he think he is? And they got all offended at him. And he said, well, it doesn't surprise me because no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. He says, you'll say this, you'll say, there were a lot of lepers. What he was saying is you're jipping yourself out of the power of God if you deny me. He was trying to turn around. He said, there were a lot of lepers in the time, but only Naaman the Syrian got healed. And that ticked them off. And they took him out to a brow of the hill, because Nazareth is built on this, and there is about a 1,000-foot drop of a cliff right there. And they brought him out to that cliff to throw him off. And you know, the angels just covered him up, hid him, and just brought him away. And it says this, he marveled at their unbelief. so that he couldn't do there any, he could not do any mighty works there, only heal a few sick. And he went about their villages teaching them. You know what you do with people who are don't understand things? You teach them something. You teach them. So Jesus, they just tried to kill him. And here he is going around the villages teaching them and healing a few sick. But he couldn't do any mighty works there. He would have loved to do some mighty works there. I mean, this was his homecoming. He said, I am here to preach good news to the poor. Now, good news to a poor man, it's not so much that he can be rich. It's not that he doesn't have to be poor. It's that he already is rich. Jesus is giving them a reality here. God is giving us a reality. Good news to the poor is the fact you're looking at a limited vision of yourself. Let the rich say, I am poor. Or let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. But we've got a lot of people who are rich in this world and things like that who are saying they're rich and they're really poor because that's their value system. Prosperity, the lowest form of prosperity, and I've heard Kenneth Copeland preach this too, the lowest form of prosperity is money, because easy come, easy go. It's simply a tool for the real prosperity, which is the prosperity of your soul. Because if your soul prospers, you can prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, and that there is no shortage in your life. You know, we've looked recently, KPA, we looked at, like, there's a huge shortage coming up. And then suddenly a full supply came in. And then some. And God is just proving himself faithful and faithful and faithful. And you get your mind renewed to the Word of God and what it says, not what you see, but what it says, you're going to be undergirded by something that is bigger than you, bigger than your need. And it'll take your seed and make it everything you need to be. So anyhow, good news to the poor is, now, here's the thing. I've used this before. If I went and put $1 million into your bank account and never bothered to mention it to you, you would continue to live like you were broke. If you were broke when I put, if you were broke and I put $1 million into your savings account and just, or whatever, bank account or stock, whatever you have. If your stocks, you're probably not poor, but. And I never mentioned it to you, then you would continue to scrape by as if you were poor. You'd see yourself as poor. You'd talk. You'd think of yourself as poor. Everything about you would be wrapped around poor. And you continue. And wait a minute, I just put $1 million in your account. Did this, you see, is it possible to have something that you don't know you have? Is it possible that you could have a full blown anointing on the inside of you and not be aware of it? Because you take your bank account out and look at it, you'd have to pick them up off the floor when you see $1 million in there. If you had that same reaction when you look in this and you see who you are in Christ, what you have, and you don't see it on the outside, but that doesn't mean it's not real. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You can own something, you can possess something, and it can be yours, and you don't know it, so you might as well not have it. You know, there are people in this world, they have no use for God, they have no use for the Bible and everything, and they're going around, and God loves them, and God is real. But to them, to them, it's as if God is not even real. And there's a lot of Christians who are walking around not realizing what is real that they have. It's a reality that exists in the spirit. And oh, God is waiting for them to turn around, believe him, start walking like it, talking like it, and believing like it, and thinking like it. And pretty soon, it'll start to manifest. this is why he takes his faith and gives it to you so that you can work it. You know, I heard Morgan Freeman is an actor. He played in Bruce Almighty. He played God. And in Noah Almighty. Remember that? Or Evan Almighty. He played God again. And he was posing as a waiter in a restaurant. And Evan's wife was in the restaurant, and she asked him for a refill. And he said, sure. She says, are you okay? And she said, well, it's a long story. And he said, I love stories. He said, in fact, I'm a pretty good storyteller too. What's your story? And she said, well, you've heard of the guy, Evan from New York? Oh, the guy who's building the ark. She said, yeah, that's him. That's my husband. Oh, well, what's wrong with that? Well, anyhow, he said, look, I mean, it was obvious that she was really downcast. Not a good situation. And he said, let me ask you something. When people pray for patience, does God just give them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? And he gave her some more examples that right now are floating out of my mind. I can't remember. But, oh, he said, if people ask God for courage, does he give them courage or does he give them opportunities to be courageous? She said, I see what you mean, but didn't pick her up. And then he said, if somebody prays for their family to be closer, and she looks like, man, this guy's reading my mail. If somebody asks the Lord for the family to be closer, does he just fill them with ooey-gooey, oozy stuff and good feelings for each other? Or does he give them an opportunity to love each other? I thought that was really profound. Because you know what? If he just dumps stuff on you that you asked for, there would be no participation on your if you didn't have to believe it, if you didn't have to receive it, if you didn't have to welcome the provision. You would not be able to welcome the provision maker into your situation. So if you're praying for your family to be closer, if you're praying for healing in your family, if you're praying for patience, first of all, you don't have to pray for patience because you already have it. It's part of the recreated human spirit. It's a fruit of the spirit, patience. You have it. You need to yield to it and develop it. God will show you how to, the Holy Spirit's your teacher. He'll do it. He'll show you how to do it. But my question is, and remains, is it possible to have something, possess it, and own it, and not realize you have it? That's what healing is. That's what provisions are. Everything. It's a reality in the spirit that has not yet happened in the natural. I'm going to cut through a lot of this. Joy! Joy of the Lord activates, it forms a joint with the anointing of God. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Let's go here. Verse 23, this is when Paul and Silas went into Philippi. And what happened was this girl's following them around and she has a spirit of divination, is a demon spirit, a fortune-telling spirit. And finally, Paul got fed up and he says, come out of here in the name of Jesus. Well, the masters who owned her, she was a slave girl, couldn't get any profits anymore because the spirit was gone. The demon was gone. And so they went broke, and so they started rabble-rousing and say, we got to get rid of these people. They're doing this, that, and the other thing. And so they finally threw, there was a tumult. They threw them in jail. And Paul and Silas, in verse 23, says, and when they laid many stripes on them, so here they are, their backs are bleeding, their feet are in stocks, their hands are in stocks. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So they're just not in a jail cell. They are in the inner prison. This is maximum security, let's say. How many of you know that's a cakewalk for the Lord? And at midnight, and I know he's talking about 12 o'clock p.m., whatever. Midnight, the dark, but spiritually it's talking about the darkest point of your life. The darkest time when you need something. You need to know that God is God. You need to know that you have the provision that you need. You need to know that there's a God who answers, that he has your future, that he has the roots of your life, and he wants to get something to you. You need to know that at midnight, what did they do? Well, they prayed. They prayed. You ever read that in James? If any is sick among you, let him pray. How many, they run to everybody else. They're going to, and they get everybody to pray for. No, it's, if any is sick among you, let him pray. You need to pray. You need to activate. You need to get things going on that are already real on the inside of you, things you already have available. They are reality on the inside of you. You need to start to pray and bring it before God so that he can fix it. You pray. Midnight. Whoops. Excuse me. I'm so sorry, Mr. You know, Lori told me that I was going to do that. You shouldn't prophesy. Mr. Poinsettia, be healed. Okay. What I'm saying is at the darkest time, just when you have to close KPA. That, by the way, that's never going to happen. We didn't open it. That's right. We didn't. We were just following orders. Yes, sir. Took a while, but we finally said, yes, sir. That's us missing out on the. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. That means they got happy. That means they started activating the joy of the Lord that was on the inside of them. And God doesn't stay still. God doesn't stay locked up. God doesn't stay. He gets out and he does things for you. And he started shaking the building. And the building started shaking and shaking and shaking, knocked the doors off. And not only them, but all the prisoners in the whole prison got loose. To the point where the jailer was going to, he's going to get executed anyway. So he took a sword out and Paul said, don't do it. Don't do it. Come here. And he started talking to him. He gave him the gospel. Jailer brought him home and fixed all their stripes up, ministered to him. Paul and Silas got his whole family saved. I mean, this guy's on the night shift. He had to wake up his family. And then he says, look, we're all here. We're not going anywhere. Don't kill yourself. I've got something for you anyway. I got a Savior who loves you. Do you see what the joy of the Lord, how it can turn around things? Or you can mope and mope and groan and moan and complain. And you know, how many things has complaining ever solved for you? Has it ever done any good for anybody? No, because you're agreeing with the devil's plan. When you gripe and complain, you're coming alongside his plan for your life. But you can change it. Pray! Praise God. And it says this, that the prisoners heard it. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. You know what happens when people hear the praises of God? Two things. They're either going to say, they're nuts, or they're going to say, hey, what are they saying? What words are they saying? What comes by hearing? Faith. The Spirit of God just came in. You know why? Because when they're singing praises, they're praising, they're probably lifting up the Word of God. They're probably saying, this is wonderful, God. We are in a place where you are just ready to do something good for us. You can do anything you want. Besides, the devil made a big mistake here. Because Paul said, you know what, devil? You made a big mistake here because you got my feet in the stocks. You've got my back all bloody. But you forgot to do one thing. You forgot to tape my mouth shut. And as long as you got your mouth working, you can move mountains. As long as you got your mouth working, you can knock the prison doors off. Any bondage can't stand in the presence of that anointing. And when you stir up that joy, I'm not saying work something up that you don't have. No, that's phony baloney stuff. You already have the joy of the Lord, love, joy, peace. You have all these things on the inside of you. And when you start to stir them up, yeah, now there's some faith connected and that anointing gets that stuff out and working for you. And the prison doors got knocked right off. Do you understand why in Philippians it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all. Oh, I got to go into that now. You know, there have been doctrines preached on that. This one word, moderation. Oh, I can drink. All things are good and acceptable in moderation. That is not what that says. Five times it's used, and it's the same word. And it has nothing to do with doing things in moderation. You know what that word moderation really means? It means let your forbearing spirit be known. Let your sweet reasonableness be known to all men. It's a peacekeeping. Okay. It's a peacekeeping presence that's in you. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, or that's kind of blind to us. In the King James, it really means be anxious for nothing. Don't have any anxiety. If you feel anxiety coming, just know this. The devil is going, hi. When anxious, worry, fretting, all these kind of things come along, that's the devil inviting you to misery. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, pure, lovely, and all these things, renew your mind. Just, honest. Oh, you can't say too much about being honest, can you? Just. Pure, lovely. Things that are of good report, praiseworthy. If there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Get the joy activated. Get it working. Get it where it's in you. You might as well just work it rather than let it roll over and... Joy is a fruit of the anointing. Let's put it that way. Because it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. They're linked. Everything is very intricately woven together to be a whole. Praise God. Did you get anything out of that? Yes. Praise God. Father, your word is amazing. I just pray, Father, for it to just ignite our hearts, to ignite the vision of our life, that we each and individually can see ourselves. No, just see ourselves as you see us, with the ability that you've placed in us. Teach us, Holy Spirit, how to activate it, how to initiate the function of those things that are in us. Even as it says in Philemon, that the communication of our faith praise God. I'm going to pray the word here. That the communication of our faith becomes effective when we acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's Philemon, chapter 1, verse 6. There's only one chapter. That the communication, start talking your faith. Start talking, acknowledging those good things that are already in you in Christ Jesus. Those things that be in you. It says that the communication of your faith becomes effective when you simply acknowledge those good things, every good thing that is already in you in Christ Jesus. What a great verse that is. That they are in us, ready to be used, ready to be activated, ready to be ignited with the anointing of God. And when they join together, they will make you stronger. They form a joint that'll make you stand, a joint that will supply every need, a joint that will bring you into a place where the devil can't touch you, and no shortage or lack will come near you, sniffing around your door. Only the threat of those things will be real, because only with your eyes you'll see the destruction of the wicked. But you will remain untouched because you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, empowered with the anointing of God and infused with Him. In Jesus' name.